Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to talk about something I don't think we've brought up, but we're going to talk about anger management at work. Our first question involves an employee who becomes furious when his passive-aggressive colleague fails to do what she promises to do. Ooh. Yeah, that'll bring it out. And our second question comes from a manager who has a star employee with a hot temper. So, anger management.
Well, we've encountered both of these situations, right? And they aren't easy to navigate, so.
Yeah, I mean, there is anger in the workplace, and it does come out. And, so we're going to talk about that. All right, let's go to our first question, Logan.
I work for the customer solutions division of a major shipping company, and I have one coworker who just sets me off. She says she'll take care of a customer complaint, then fails to address it, causing the complaint to come back to me. Or she'll tell me that she's going to cover me and work late one evening, then fail to do it. When I ask her what happened, she'll act confused and tell me she didn't understand what we agreed to. Unfortunately, this triggers a loud and angry response on my part. I end up looking like the bad guy. How do I deal with this person without losing my cool?
I think he brings up a really good point that he looks like the bad one. This person is passive-aggressive, right. Yet he's the one that looks bad. Yeah. And that's because it's the reaction that everybody sees. Not everybody sees the passive-aggressive behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of person is really maddening and does definitely trigger those feelings in people. But it is your responsibility in the workplace, and I think in the world, to not lash out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But to, handle it in a professional manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first thing is realizing, I think what's hard is because she doesn't own her mistake, right, or doesn't own up to what she does, that then the person on the receiving end tends to be more inflamed because they're not getting what would be a reasonable response to failing to do something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in a case with somebody like this, and we talk about this in Working With You Is Killing Me, it's important that you document everything. So that conversation that you had where this, they agreed to do something, I have that in writing. Make sure it's in an email exchange or something. And then you have weapons to go to the boss or go to that person and say, what happened here? I'm going to send this to your boss, my boss, and their boss's boss. What happened here? You agreed to do this.
Right.
But so that you do have some tools to use.
Yeah.
I know Catherine's going to pick up on the emotional aspect, because I would be just like this person.
We're getting there. I would too. I would too.
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is when you feel crazy, you're in crazy. So the thing is that when you're in these situations and someone denies the fact of what you agreed to or what you talked about with them, it's very difficult because you will feel triggered because you're like, what? Don't you see the same reality that we both agreed to here? Mm-hmm. Right? So it's managing that internal response that's the big challenge. And I think one thing that you have to do once you've figured out, hopefully you figured out that the person is passive aggressive, that she is unlikely to admit or own any mistakes going forward. Mm-hmm. You have to know that. What we do and why we get so mad is that we're trying to render justice. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell didn't you hear what I said? Or, you were there too. Or,
well, also, we expect people to do their work. We expect them to pull their weight at work.
Of course.
Right. And that's not fair.
Mm-hmm. It is not fair. That's what I mean. We want to render justice. And that's where the righteous anger comes out. And unfortunately, with someone like this, just as you so clearly and cleverly said, Kathy, you end up looking like the crazy person.
Right.
Yeah.
So you need to be prepared, I think, to be disappointed again or to be let down again. And as you're talking about with the documenting, you may even need to, when you meet with this person, send off an email of exactly what we agreed to do.
I think once somebody disappoints you and doesn't do what they said they were going to do, then you should start documenting all future conversations with them.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb.
I mean, in general, and then usually people tend to do if it's in writing and others know.
Yeah,
right.
Or this person just may have a lot of problems. But it's definitely, it's always interesting to me how the person who's at the effect of the bad person is the one who gets in trouble.
That's right.
Because they have this reaction, and we're saying, you know, you want to point the fingers in the right place.
Right.
Not at yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when this person fails to do something again, as you say, I think you're going to need to take a pause for yourself. Be ready that she will disappoint you. And then you need to unhook physically, you know, as we would talk about in our books, where you've got to take a deep breath. You may need to take a walk. You may need to say, I'm going to have to address this later with you. Do something to create a pause and give your temper, the part of you that's the blood is boiling, some time to cool down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the whole unhooking process is in working with you is killing me. If anybody's going through this or something like this, where somebody really triggers this emotional reaction in you at work, you may want to grab a copy of that. But in the meantime, that's right. The first thing you have to do is do something to bring yourself down.
That's right.
Calm yourself down.
Yeah.
And we always say exercise is the best form.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of some sort of exercise.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or what else? You can get a massage. You can
get a massage. You can go. Some people feel better when they go out into nature in some way. What we don't want you to do is shop it away, drink it away, video game it away, drug it away, because then you won't be your best self that next day.
save those for a different time.
But right, you'll be hungover and more angry and nastier probably to the individual.
Yeah, it just pushes it down for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the healthier way is to, you know, go for a run or do something so that you then can look at it from a different perspective.
Right.
Which is, okay, this isn't it's become my problem.
Right.
But this person has a problem.
Right.
And I have to make that shine, not me.
That's right.
You have to turn it around. But these kinds of people exist. I want to say everyone's got one in their family, right? Can everybody can think of who that person is?
Oh yeah.
Maybe you have more than that. Everybody's had somebody in their life who was like this.
Yep.
And you know, eventually you realize, okay, I have to handle that person differently.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have to know that every time they say they're going to do something, the chances are they're not.
Right. Make sure you bring the birthday cake because they're not going to bring the birthday cake to the party.
Right.
Or the person who's chronically late who promises to show up on time for this one event.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit around waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have another plan.
Yeah.
Right. At a certain point, you have to shame on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For not knowing. You know?
So that's what we're talking about here, exactly that once you've identified, and it takes a little while to identify, in this case, a passive-aggressive person, someone who is going to say one thing and do another.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition of passive aggression is it is aggression, so it's aggression against you, but it's done in such a passive way that no one can put a finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sneaky.
Well, that's why they do it.
Yeah.
Why do they do it? They do it because what?
Well,
they just don't know how to say no.
I think that's part of it, Kathy. I also think it's a power move of sorts, you know, control move. Like, we don't know. She may have some resentment against this guy for something. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of, you know, yeah, sure. But I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
So...
At work? Really?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. We wrote a whole book about it.
Yeah, we've written three, Catherine. We've written three. Actually, four. Yeah, I know. There's a big minefield. I'm just trying to get into the head of why somebody would do that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I always feel so guilty when I say I'm going to do something. It's like, then I have to do it.
Right. So, and then you can't or something. Right. Pops
so it's
up.
Hard for me to even, you know, I don't relate.
Well, first of all, you don't relate because you're not designed that way. And I think very often passive-aggressive people don't feel that potent. They don't feel that strong. They don't think they're great advocates for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They think that their only option is to play it out in a subtle, subdued, behind-your-back way.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Yeah. Everybody knows who this person is, though. So I doubt they're just doing it to this, one person. I think that, you know.
But it still does affect your professional stature, right? Mm-hmm. That it is important. It's great that you want to try to grab control of your own response in this case, because if you are angry, they won't ever look at her, right?
Well, they're going to see you as a real problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not good when you walk around the office angry. It makes everyone else feel that energy. Nobody likes it.
Yeah. It's bad energy.
It's bad energy. Toxic. And it's bad for morale. Everybody kind of runs and hides.
Right.
When there's somebody angry in the office. Nobody likes it. Nobody has to put up with that.
I also think one way to hold this for yourself, if you're dealing with this kind of person and they do really tick you off, is to understand that when you lose your temper, they win.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Would you say that again? When you lose your temper, that's what they want?
Well, it's not. Yeah, in a way they do, in the sense that then they look like the victim. They've been victimized by you, your aggression. So when you lose your temper, they win. And if that can help you then not lose your temper, think, okay, I don't want to lose this again. I just want to, and here we go. Here it's happening again. Take a pause, figure out, document what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you didn't finish that report as you promised to. Okay. Let me just jot that down.
Mm-hmm. And get someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. This is, it's unpleasant if you're working with somebody like this. So we get it. We get that, you know, it pisses you off and you want to flip out.
Yeah.
But it's irresponsible to do that in the workplace. You do have to not act like you're at home with your friends. You do have to take on a professional behavior, which is to be responsible for emotional outbursts, even too much laughter, but just to be more responsible.
Right, and to understand that when you're not going to render justice by chewing them out, basically.
Yeah.
It's not going to get them to change.
You're not going to get that self-satisfaction.
No, you're not. Maybe in the moment, but shortly afterwards, it won't be good.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a quick commercial break and come back with another anger management issue.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. Logan, what's our next question?
What do I do with an employee who loses his temper on a regular basis? My smartest IT person can solve any problem, but has a history of mouthing off to various staff in other departments. He says it's just too hard to deal with their stupidity. And he also feels like people don't respect him. While there is truth in what he's saying, I can't afford to keep him if he can't treat others in a more professional manner.
Well, that's correct. That's correct. I mean, and we counsel a lot of managers when they have an employee who can't control their emotions.
Yeah.
And again, it's not only anger emotions. Sometimes it's too happy, too much laughing. They're a little crazy in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone that has an extreme behavior,
right?
It has to be either they're managed out or they get some help.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you have to directly tell this person that their reaction is unprofessional and you won't stand for it. And whether or not what transpired to activate that behavior, it may have happened, they still have to understand that they can't react that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds unfair, but you're not with your friends.
Right. Well, what's interesting, I think, for a manager is you don't want to lose your top talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there can be fear about confronting an employee about his or her anger and angry outbursts, because the fear is that if you set a standard and they don't meet it, then you lose that talent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, many, many times, you know, we have to let go of talent. I mean, what it ultimately comes down to being the behavior experts is that you want people that behave versus the best, because sometimes if the best don't behave, then, and we have that on Wall Street, they get, they're rewarded for bad behavior if they bring in the most amount of money.
Right.
And it, some people run from that. So, and you know, we coach a lot of people from that industry. It's not fun. So you can teach people talent. You can, they can learn how to do a job, but you can't always teach behavior.
You can't. And I think in this case, first of all, I imagine this is not the first time this individual has heard that temper is a problem.
Oh, you think they've heard it from their ex-wives? Or maybe from their ex-girlfriends?
Friends
or?
And family together, probably at different times.
And their last boss.
And their last position, exactly. You know, and it doesn't feel good. In when we've done executive coaching for people with anger problems, they feel a lot of shame once they've, you know, lashed out at someone. And and then that shame, they'll build on that sometimes with pride. Like, well, they deserved it, right?
Right.
You know, defensive behavior. So it doesn't, I don't think we should assume that this IT person is enjoying losing his temper. Chances are that he doesn't know how to control it.
Right.
Right. And also, it's funny because we, I think we talk about in managing up and working with you is killing me, we talk about knowing what the predictable problems of your industry and your department are, right? So IT is just, it's an impossible position.
Right, right.
It's true. You are going to have to deal with stupid questions. You're going to have to deal with people who want you to do everything from the mundane to the most sophisticated things. You're going to have to deal with probably not feeling respected because they don't fully understand what you do.
I mean, I think it's true. But, I mean, you have a responsibility, each and every person, to not only learn your job, but to learn how to deal with yourself.
Right.
To learn how to deal with your own reactions, especially the ones that are overboard in the workplace.
Yeah.
This is really pretty basic. And there's so many opportunities to get ticked off at work. I mean, one after another. So this is a skill that has to be learned. Unfortunately, it's not really taught.
You know, it's so interesting you say that because I'm just remembering a consulting executive coaching thing we did for an environmental group, and the manager was really afraid to confront one of his employees, a woman who had a very fiery temper. And what happened was when he finally did sit down with her and go over the incidents, the specific things that happened and the specific ways that she reacted, she thanked him.
Right.
Because she wasn't aware of how erratic her conduct was.
All he really had to do was tell her. I mean, I've been told, this was early in my career, I had a boss that told me that I had a reaction that didn't work. And I was really grateful that he told me, because that's just the way I was. I didn't know that you had to handle differently. I was in my early 20s. And so I learned. It was a good lesson. And I think most people are, if they're hearing it for the first time, are grateful. If you've heard it multiple times and you haven't been able to change it, though, that's where there's a problem.
Right.
Well, I have to go see Crowley here.
Right.
No, you may need some therapy.
I can imagine it's frustrating for them, right, or irritating or frustrating to hear the same thing over and over, and you think, well, what's wrong with me?
Yes, that's a good point. What's interesting, Logan and Kathy, that I'm thinking about is that there's a line in here where the person says he also feels like people don't respect him. And then we're talking about not so much what's happening as probably some internal negative belief that this IT guy has about himself that gets triggered when people respond to him in a certain way. So, yeah, then you have to go a little bit into deeper waters because you have to question what you really think is happening here. You know, if you're left out of a meeting or if you're left out of a discussion or if you're not included or you're not, you know, someone books an appointment with you if you're in IT and then they're not there when you go to their cubicle.
Right, right.
If you're waiting to be disrespected, then you're going to have an angry reaction. So part of it is finding out from the manager's perspective of, you know, do you understand what sets you off? And do you think you could have a different reaction to this?
Yeah, I see. I think this is treading on mental health in a way where it can be kind of tricky. And I think managers, we have many managers that are our clients that like to have us, you know, in their back pocket because then they can say, I have somebody you can talk to.
Right.
Because they straddle the business and the psychological world. Mm-hmm. And that's, but I think a lot of managers don't think that way.
No.
Yeah. But it's something you should think about because some people need emotional support.
Right. Absolutely. So if you have someone who seems to have emotional difficulty or emotional self-management difficulty, it would be great to get them some kind of coaching or counseling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And if you're an individual listening and you know you have this issue and you have been told, you know, it could be short-term counseling. It could be something you could really learn very, very quickly.
Absolutely. Because it is a practice. To be able to catch yourself before you
it
set
is.
Off.
There are tools for it. And it's like learning your early warning signs to just when you're about to go off. And mine are physical. I feel it in my stomach first. When my stomach starts to churn, I go, uh-oh, you know.
Yeah.
It's already in my body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But some people, we were talking to somebody on the phone the other day, and he said it was mental for him.
Yes.
Right? What do you say? His mind starts.
Start to obsess about the situation and run it over again and again and again, and he can feel himself amping up emotionally.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then there's the emotional where you feel like crying or you feel like some other emotion. You know, so there are early warning signs, and you can get it quickly.
Yeah.
You can say, excuse me, I forgot something. I've got to go do something. And, you know, go to the bathroom, wash your face, wash your hands. Like, just change the energy.
Yeah.
You can bring yourself down once you know you're about to
catch
get
it.
Yeah. But once you're in full-blown anger mode, you got to go to the gym. You got to do a lot more. Then, like, it's in your body. And for me, it could take a week. You know,
to purge.
It doesn't just happen overnight. You know, sometimes it takes a couple of days to get to come down if the person is really.
I think that's a really good point because you can get triggered and then your system is in an amped up kind of hyper-vigilant state. And it's looking for the gratification of someone saying, you're right, that's horrible, that shouldn't have happened, and something else, right? But you're not going to get that, so you do have to take the steps necessary to just purge it out of your system and know what that requires, what's involved. Like, it's taken you a while to know how to work with your body, right, Kathy?
I'm always surprised, though, because, like, I'll be upset about something, and I'll go to the gym and I'll think, oh, wow, that felt so great. You know, I see the picture now. Yeah. And then the next day I'm still angry again.
Yeah.
You know, it comes back. So I have to do it for a couple of days.
Yeah. Right.
What, you get over it quickly? Or Crowley play. So it's like 15 minutes gone.
No. I have to work out. 15
minute meditation.
No, I'm a walker. You know, I'm a walker. Mm-hmm. So I have to walk it out. Sometimes I have to swim it out. Sometimes I have to yoga it out. It takes a while for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
depends
hard
on how
to be
deep
patient
it is.
With the process. Right. Yes.
Like I was mad at a girlfriend recently, and it took me close to a month.
Mm.
Wow.
To, you know, and I got to many different stages along the way. Maybe it was 3 weeks. You know, different stages until I was totally, it was gone. And I was like, oh, okay, I know how to talk to her about it now.
But see, that's a really interesting point too, which is that we don't think of it this way, but anger, as do many emotions, has stages to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the initial bam, you know, the kind of explosive angry. Then there's, when you think about it more, resentment, angry, then that resentment can lead to a whole nother infusion of anger over something else, another time when this person did something to me that I didn't like, you know? So it's just such a good point that it takes a while, that it happens in stages, and that we have layers to us, our thinking and our experiences. And especially if it's someone at work who constantly does something that drives you nuts, if you're feeling hysterical, it's probably historical. You know, it could be that there are many layers of anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of work ahead of you.
Yeah. Good luck. Let us know how it goes.
Good luck with your employee.
Yeah.
Okay. So join us next time for another My Crazy Office. Tweet us your stories and advice about managing anger at work to AskK2. Visit us on Podcastland. Review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Stitcher, and don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.